Beautiful Independence Day to you all. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in with us. It's Rosie on the house. Had a call during the break, a gentleman wanting to know if the olive grove that used to be on 28th Street and Indian School was owned by Olive, the Arnold Olive and Pickle Company. We don't know the ownership, but there's a good chance if you're that close, because they were on Van Buren.
Correct. 1400 block of Van
You would certainly think that would be the most economic place to take your olives for to harvest instead of shipping them somewhere else to be fermented and processed. So there's a good chance they were a contract employee. And he has a fond memory of that olive orchard that's no longer there because that was an escape route for their mischief.
And you know what I would theorize, and I bet all of the farmer fans that listen to the show on a weekly basis would probably be able to call in and tell you who owned it, because most of what the Arnolds did, and this was very typical with any of your quote unquote processors in the food supply chain, they'd contract with the farmers. It's like I mentioned earlier, one of the farmers that I hunted down that actually contracted with the Arnold family to deliver cucumbers on a regular basis was the Flake family. And they did the 10 acres of the cucumbers that they'd sell. And the whole entire, and we've made reference to them already, Taylor had a lot of the farmers that were growing the cucumbers. And why that location? Because a lot of that production was done during the summer. It was a short season, but it was a very intense season. And so Arnold would contract with these local Arizona farmers, and that's how they were able to say, these are true blue Arizona pickles grown here in this glorious state of Arizona. And that's because we don't have that level of production, at least with Arnold Pickle Company, because they're no longer in existence. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of our retail direct market farmers are growing cucumbers and not some of the typical traditional, a lot of varieties. I forget, we've done some fun food facts about cucumbers on our Fill Your Plate website that Arizona Farm Bureau hosts. And so maybe it's mentioned there, but there's a huge variety of cucumbers that, of course, you can ferment or pickle and also put in wonderful salads. But our commercial production here in the state of Arizona with cucumbers is not as large as it used to be. And probably one of the biggest reasons is we no longer have Arnold's Pickled Company.
That's
anymore.
Right. Driving the supply chain.
Yeah, driving
the demand chain.
Yeah, exactly.
And because most people associate cucumbers and vegetables, we assume pickles are a vegetable. And with you and Dr. Dean in together, maybe we can determine why would it take the U.S. Supreme Court to make a ruling that they're technically fruit? Why would you need to get the U.S. Supreme Court involved in determining whether a pickle is a vegetable or a fruit? And that's not the only time they had to make a similar ruling to a tomato.
Yeah, in fact, I think the tomato drove that one. Smashed a bunch of tomatoes. Come on.
That's what we need to spend our taxpayers' money on. Get that Supreme Court to work for us.
Yes, to declare it. Well, come on. I bet you know that one, Romy. The one about why. And it is a Supreme Court ruling. It had to do with tomatoes. And I think it was dealing with just the distribution. You know, my ag education director at Arizona Farm Bureau could probably tell us right off the top of her head, Katie Akins. But there was actually a Supreme Court ruling dealing with that. You know, back to our production with cucumbers, since that's our commodity topic this week. At their peak of production, the Arnold Pickle Company was producing around 5,000 tons of pickles a year at their peak. And Arnold's Pickles remained in business into the early 1990s when it was sold to another food company. So there you have it. That's why they had to contract with a lot of farmers in Arizona to grow the cucumbers. And another little bit of trivia that we were talking about during the commercial break was they actually paid more for the smaller cucumbers than the larger cucumbers. Any idea why that might be?
Well, I think both the Supreme Court case and that based on taxes and tariffs. And so the Supreme Court ruling of Nix versus Hedden was against the Tariff Act of 1883 that was classifying tomatoes and different things as fruit or vegetables. And so rather than using the botanical scientific definition, they were using this other definition in order to accommodate the tax laws or the customs laws that kind of purposes.
Interesting. But
follow
I'm still
the money.
The complexity of our fruits and vegetables. So why do you think Arnold's was willing to pay more for the smaller pickle than the smaller cucumber rather than the larger cucumber?
Maybe when you could
ferment them faster?
Yeah. No, it's the whole supply and demand. There was a very high demand for the smaller sweet pickles that they produced. And so when they contracted with the farmer, and it's a labor intensive, at least back then it was, to harvest. And cucumbers, obviously, if our farmers here in Arizona who are so good at what they do, they grow fast. So if they could harvest quicker and get the smaller pickles, they'd get a better price for it. So that's one of the reasons why. And to this day, a lot of people favor the smaller sweet pickle than the larger dill or sour pickle.
That does make a lot of sense. When you picture those little tiny sweet pickles, how long does it take to pick 10 of those?
Oh my gosh,
versus
yeah.
10, you know, yeah. Those long sliced spear type ones you get.
The farmer, Gerald Flake, told me that when they were in the peak of harvest season, they would harvest a third of the field, then the next day the other third, and then after 3 days they would just start all over. And that's one of the reasons why they personally kept it to just the 20 acres, which to me, 10 acres is a lot of pickles to harvest. He still considered it kind of small, but it was just constant once you were ready to harvest those pickles.
Just as an aside, the Supreme Court also decided in Robertson versus Solomon that a bean is technically a vegetable also, but it is botanically a seed, and that clarified the cucumber also.
There you go. Now, that's why you tune into Rosie on the House every Saturday morning. Dr. Dean, tell us about Thomas Paine's Common Sense.
So Thomas Paine's Common Sense was a pamphlet that he wrote trying to kind of stir people to action. We today would probably call it a blog or a social media type thing. As the printing press distributed these ideas about revolution, I remember a lot of people were kind of indifferent to it. Only a third of the colonists were really in favor of some sort of radical change. And another third were really, really staunchly loyalist or staunchly English people and wanted to kind of keep things the status quo. And then you have this third in the middle that were kind of like, well, I'll go along with it if it's good for me, but I'm not going to go along with it if it's bad for me. You know, they're kind of hedging their bets one way or the other. And so Thomas Paine's pamphlet, Common Sense, was one of the ideological arguments to kind of nudge people over the edge. And it really helped formulate some of the arguments made during the debates between June and July 2nd over this conversation about should we declare our independence or not?
He was quite the communicator when you think about it. And he didn't even have the benefits of today's tools.
No, the printing press was the way of the day. Those kind of pamphlets were circulated. If people were illiterate, they were read in local pubs and alehouses and gathering places. And so the message got out and people started to kind of change their minds about those things. But today he would have been a blogger, probably had a YouTube channel and, a million likes and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
His own reality TV show and, a guest on, America's Got Talent or something.
Life's a Pain is the name of the channel.
Yeah. I like that one.
Well, he certainly did stir things up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great document if you've never read it.
Right. It's not that long of a read either.
No.
It just lays out a very strong case for this immediate separation from the king and from parliament, that we have this habit of self-government. We can do these things. What do we need them for? Kind of a thing. It's the common sense.
Well, we're celebrating July 4th this weekend by helping y'all realize what July 4th is and what it isn't. Actually, there was a strong contingent of people that felt like July 2nd should be Independence Day.
Yeah, John Adams, because if you think about it, you celebrate the Declaration Day. And that was the day that Congress got the draft from Thomas Jefferson and the others on the committee, Benjamin Franklin and Robert Livingston and Robert Sherman and others. And in fact, the guy that originally had proposed the whole idea, he actually had to go home, Virginia Congressman Robert Henry Lee. He had to go home and take care of an illness in the family. So he actually couldn't be part of this. So they put down together this committee, and the committee brought forward the draft in with those 27 grievances and the preamble that we know, brought that forward on July 2nd. And so when they adopted it, yes, Congress made the decision. We are going to declare our independence. And John Adams wrote his wife and said, you know, this is going to be a day that we're going to celebrate for generations. We're going to have parades and we're going to shoot off guns and have picnics and shows and all this kind of stuff. And he was so disappointed that July 4th became the popularizing day of celebration, because that was on the broadsides that were circulated. That was on the date they actually adopted the language and whatnot, that he refused to go to any July 4th celebrations he was invited to.
I love that.
Because he thought it should have been the 2nd, 2 days earlier.
Uh-huh.
So what were his parties like on the 2nd?
Yeah, right. Well, he just stayed home and ate pickles.
Yeah, exactly. Arnold's pickles. Well, no, it's a little bit earlier than that.
Have you ever tried fermenting cucumbers? I mean, we pepper ferment okra, hot peppered okra. Have you ever tried fermenting a pickle, a cucumber?
You know, it didn't go well.
Yeah.
And it's a process. And when you can go to a Smart and Final and get Dave's yes. spicy pickles, yeah. whether they're the sliced or squared, however, oh man, those, have you ever had Famous Dave's spicy pickles?
I have
not. Not the flaming hot, because it's, but just the spicy. And you don't taste it right away, but when you're done chewing it and you swallow it, there's that little after effect hint of that little spice, and they are a life changer.
And follow it up with a little bite of rib, too, to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
So on Monday, Fill Your Plate, Arizona Farm Bureau's consumer-facing website, releases a recipe and a story on how to ferment pickles.
Okay.
And it's from Blue Sky Farms, one of our local farmers here. So for our listeners, watch for that. It releases. It's actually going to be on the blog, and we're releasing that on Monday. And they're actually proposing that you use a different cucumber. I forget the variety. I'm going to have to wait for the article to come out. But they have a whole tip on how you ferment pickles, and obviously must ferment them well. Otherwise, we wouldn't be posting it as a blog and a recipe on Fill Your Plate.
Well, that once it's pickled, it must keep a long time.
Yes.
Because I can remember the Arnold Pickle gallon bought jars in our pantry. And even in our big family. But, I mean, still, it could take a month or 6 weeks to kind of work our way through that gallon.
You know, Dr. Dean, I mean, pickles, it's perfect that we're talking about this on Independence Day, because on a 4th of July picnic party, we've always got the watermelon, we've always got the hot dogs or hamburgers, and I think we're missing something if we don't have some pickles.
And to be honest, we have to be careful about summertime heat and foods and those kind of things. President Zachary Taylor went to a 4th of July celebration in Washington, D.C. in the heat of summer, had some bad, I don't think the Supreme Court had ruled yet whether it was a fruit or vegetable. But he had something that had spoiled and got a really bad stomach ache and died a couple days later. So we have to be very careful about
what we eat.
Yeah. So
food safety is another issue with our farmers here. We stress that all the time.
And I would imagine that fermenting cucumbers into pickles is a lot shorter of a process than fermenting a revolution.